Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today I'm the Ultimate Sports Parent. I'm here with my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn, and special guest David Jacobson of the Positive Coaching Alliance. We're here to talk about how coaches can redefine winning in ways that are beneficial to young athletes. Hi, David. Hi, Patrick.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
David, we're welcoming you back for the second time. In your program, positive coaches are coaches who redefine winning, I understand. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Sure. And thanks for having me back, Lisa. Redefining winner has to do with the notion that the scoreboard is not the final and only arbiter of success and of quote-unquote winning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, people want to win, and PCA advocates trying as hard as you can to win every game within the bounds of ethics and the rules of the sport and respecting opponents and teammates and officials. But there's more going on there than just trying to finish the game with the high score. There's so many educational opportunities involved in youth and high school sports that if you can take those, you are a winner. If you can put forth maximum effort, do the very best you can, and know that you left it all out on the field or on the court, you're a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And once you frame things that way for youth athletes, they're free of the burden of the nervousness of feeling like they have to win.
Right.
If all they have to do is their best, which is all they can do anyway, they're more likely to feel successful and to be successful.
Right, and to feel confident. That's a big point that we stress. Now, can you give me an example of how a coach might do this?
There's one of the classic examples that we use in our workshops for coaches and for parents and even for high school age student athletes has to do with a scenario where your team is basically overmatched, you know, outsized, out-talented, out-depthed, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you go into that game not necessarily concerned about the final score, but concerned with executing to the best of your ability your game plan and each individual skill on each individual play, whether it's from the line of scrimmage or whether it's, you know, the half-court set in basketball or, you know, different offensive strategies, say hit and run in baseball. Just out to execute each the best you can, freed of the larger context of what is the scoreboard feed now.
Right. So a coach might say, Johnny, you're really good at, you know, handling the ball. I want you to really focus on that. Would that be an example?
Well, that's yes, it's obviously a micro example,
right,
of what we're talking about. What you can set up essentially effort goals and result goals.
Mm-hmm.
So an effort goal, let's say in soccer, may be that your midfielders try to get to every loose ball, and you're going to measure: do they get to the touch line before the opponent does? Yes or no? What percentage?
Mm-hmm.
Even if the final score is, you know, 5-0 against you, if you've gotten to every loose ball or close to it, and you've seen maximal effort, that's something to build on. You've got small victory. You've got something that can impart confidence and a recognition of success in the players who at least did everything they could to make their intermediate goal, and then the result being that they did make their intermediate goal.
Right, and that makes them feel good.
Picking up all those loose balls. And, of course, as you strive to pick up loose balls, that's creating your own breaks. That's getting you that much closer to actually scoring and preventing the other team from scoring, so that the effort goal if pursued diligently and consistently over time, can eventually yield result goals.
Now, Patrick has a slightly different way of describing exactly what you're talking about. Patrick, how do you, what terminology do you use in sports psychology to describe exactly the same thing?
Well, I think what he's talking about, what David's talking about, is so important because we live in such a result-oriented society. And the teams and the athletes that I work with on the mental training aspect, they become so obsessed with the results. They become so obsessed with their personal statistics at the end of the game that it becomes a huge distraction for them. So from a performance perspective, you know, the Positive Coaching Alliance talks about focusing on effort rather than outcome. I just use a different term.
Right.
And David used it too. He says execution. I help my students focus more on execution, and I set what are called mini goals or manageable objectives. I actually move away from the term goals and use objectives because the students can start, you know, pressuring themselves or turn their goals, their mini goals, into expectations. So I talk about mini goals such as let's hit, you know, maybe, 10 or 14 fairways, or let's have, four out of six quality shots on goal, and try to reorient their minds towards enjoying the game by focusing more on the process rather than the outcome.
Right. Yeah, the process is key. Now, what about the role of mistakes, David? How do you view mistakes?
We've got an acronym in our workshops that we use, and it's called the Elm Tree, the Elm Tree of Mastery, because we're after mastery rather than necessarily scoreboard wins. We want our youth athletes and high school athletes to master their sport. The way to master your sport is through the Elm Tree of Mastery. E for effort, L for learning, M for mistakes are okay.
Hmm.
And you have to, from day one, impart the notion that mistakes are okay, that mistakes are the way we learn, that if you're not making mistakes, it's because you're not trying hard enough, you're not being innovative enough, you're not pushing the outside of the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where mistakes occur, but that's also, of course, where the greatest success occurs. And you can't get there. You can't learn what's, you know, on the other side of that outside of the envelope if you don't push it and if you don't subject yourself to the possibility of mistakes.
Right. What we always say in ice skating, unless you fall down, you're not learning anything. I always tell my daughter that when we're skating or skiing.
That's a great way to put it. That's an extremely concise, great way to put it.
Yeah. And I think it's so important, that idea that if you free yourself from these worries about making mistakes, you're freer to be creative and you're freer to learn. And that's true in life as well as sports.
Very much so.
Yeah. Yes, and it's, I think it's so important for both coaches and parents to be careful that they don't harp so much on mistakes. I'm working with a young skater right now, Lisa and David, who has a lot of negative scripts in her head. And what that means is basically she's got a lot of negative self-talk from a negative coach. One of her first coaches, all he did was pick apart her mistakes and was very, very negative. And today, now she's paying the price for that because she has that type of mentality in her head. When she makes a mistake, some of those negative scripts that she learned from a previous coach come out and rear its head. So I think it's so important that parents don't focus on mistakes after competition, and like both of you are saying, focus more on how do we grow and how do we take that information, how do we take those mistakes and become better.
Right.
It's really important for coaches especially to not just pay this lip service. It's really easy to say at the beginning of the game or beginning of the season, mistakes are okay, but if you don't reinforce that, and if you don't reinforce through reward for mistakes, not that you want the mistake repeated, but you want the aggressiveness repeated, you want the willingness to push the outside of the envelope repeated, and you have to, just through, you know, psychology 101, positive reinforcement, tell that youth athlete at every turn, hey, I saw that you didn't quite get the ball there, but the fact that you were willing to try something new and push beyond what you thought your limits were, step in the right direction. Great work.
Right. That is so important. Now, another point you make when you're focusing on winning, David, is strive to be the best you can be. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Another kind of model and catchphrase that we use at Positive Coaching Alliance is the triple impact competitor. We've got the double goal coach who wants to win while teaching life lessons through sports. We've got the second goal parent who's focused primarily on that second goal, which is the life lessons through sports. And we've got the triple impact competitor who competes to make him or herself better, to make his or her teammates better, and finally, the third level of triple impact, to make the game as a whole better by competing through a code of honor, through honoring the game, respecting officials, opponents, teammates, rules, and oneself. So you not only try to make yourself better through work in practice, through maximum effort in games, but also to involve your teammates in that. Set an example for your teammates to push themselves to be better so that the team as a whole improves. And set an example for your teammates and even your opponents when you go into competition to respect the game at all levels so that the environment around the sport improves as well.
Now, how would we talk to parents about that goal? I mean, how can parents help kids be the best they can be in this way?
There's a couple different levels to that. I think one is that just the main thing is to keep the sport in perspective, have it play an appropriate role in the child's life and in the parent's life, so that nobody goes over the top in pursuit of wins. And, again, a lot of the same sort of positive reinforcement that we've discussed already in terms of letting that child know that his or her mistakes are okay, because mm-hmm. that's how they get better, that's how they improve. It takes so much handling of an athlete's psyche and emotions when he or she has just publicly, very publicly in the case of a game, made a mistake, maybe cost their team a game on the scoreboard by all appearances. And if there's not that safety net, if there's not that consistent notion that it's great that you tried to go beyond your limits, it's too easy for kids to give up, whether it's out of embarrassment or shame or just the negative reaction that they elicit when they don't succeed 100% in terms of an outcome.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, your motto, I believe, is transforming youth sports so sports can transform youth. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. There's a lot that is great about youth sports, and unfortunately in the news there's a lot that is not great about youth sports. Youth sports can be a transformative experience because it creates real-time, full-speed life lessons. It trains you in decision-making. It trains you in resiliency and in teamwork and in all the things that have become important in the way you conduct your business relationships, your personal relationships throughout your adult life. And if youth are prevented from experiencing that transformative time in youth sports because the focus is on winning and not on life lessons, then it's a great lost opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So we want every child to have a transformative youth sports experience, which means then that youth sports itself must be transformed.
Right. And from Patrick's point of view, it's all about building confidence, right, Patrick? And you can take that confidence that you learn in sports to other areas of your life.
Absolutely. I love the idea about the whole second goal for parents and learning the life lessons. I do think sports provides a big opportunity for young kids to learn to be self-confident in what they do, to learn discipline, to learn goal setting, as David said, to learn teamwork. I mean, there's so many positives that I think come out of a positive, youth sports experience like we experienced when we were younger, Lisa.
Yeah, David, we had five kids and we all played sports when we grew up.
Wow.
and we really
your
had
parents
a lot of
are the
fun.
Original second goal parents.
Well, no, so our father was not always the best sports parent, but that was part of the lesson. But he loved it. I mean, he really, really loved it, and that's something you never forget.
Well, that's great. I hope that that the people who are listening to this have a chance to visit our website, www.positivecoach.org. We do have an online version of our Second Goal Parent workshop. It's the online Second Goal Parent course, and you can just click on Become a Second Goal Parent and get into that course and experience or at least begin to learn some principles on how to help your child get the most out of youth sports.
Now, I assume the course is free. You just go to your website and
well, it's not free, to be honest with you. It's,
oh, okay, that's what I was curious about.
It is, I believe, $25.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And I'm sure you've got lots of other tips on your website as well.
We do.
All right. Well, David, it's been great having you back. I love your whole philosophy, and I'm sure we'll have you back again.
Thanks. I appreciate your having me, Lisa and Patrick. It's been great.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.